Welcome, this is Matthew Bronson, and this is Conversations with Matthew Bronson here on KUPR 99.9 FM in beautiful Placitas, New Mexico. And today our conversation is with the president of ESCA, Ed Mica, and ESCA, because every community needs at least a few good acronyms. So it's the Eastern Sandoval Citizens Association. For the few who don't know about ESCA, let's start with what is it and why is it and why people need to care. So welcome, Ed.
Thanks, Matthew. I appreciate this opportunity just to speak to an audience. Eastern Sandoval Citizens Association was founded in 2011. And the reason we were founded was because of an organization called ASCAFCA, which is a flood control agency, which sent out a bond election for formation of the organization. And we were rather misled into how much that was going to cost us.
Okay. that's the first time that's ever happened, right?
So what we found out after we got our first tax bill, what we were expecting maybe a $100, $200 cost, it was more like $700 per
significantly
household.
Different.
And we were concerned about where they were going with flood control projects, and most of it was to benefit those people outside of Placitas. So an organization formed of community representatives to go to Santa Fe and see if we couldn't be removed from the ASCAFCA organization. And Placitas was actually contributing a great amount of the funding, and
right.
we still do to this date. But we were able to remove Placitas, Eastern Sandoval, everything east of I-25, from the organization of ASCAFCA.
Was there somebody like the brainchild, or someone had to say, hey, we need to do something about
this? There were several local people, Bob Gorrell, Lynn Cook, Floyd Cotton, and others got together and said, hey, we need to do something about this. So that was really the impetus that formed ESCA. And we actually took our name from ASCAFCA.
Okay.
It is Eastern Sandoval Citizens Association, as opposed to the Eastern Sandoval County Arroyo Flood Control Authority.
All right. So we don't have any patent attorneys in the neighborhood. Copyright.
So that was the first organized effort for ESCA to go out and do something that we thought would contribute to the community in a very positive way.
So the job one was to remove Placitas from ASCAFCA.
That's correct. And from that, we said, gee, there's more issues. We as a community don't have a formal structured government. We fall under the Sandoval County commissioners, under one commissioner. So it was important for us to have an organization that could be a watchdog organization. We wanted to be nonpartisan. We're not Republican or Democrat. We wanted to be an organization that could go out and meet with our public officials, express our concerns, and to work on issues that would be of benefit to the Eastern Sandoval area.
It sounds like even without ESCA, that Sandoval County has a commissioner, that we'd probably get more representation than some of the other parts of the state.
Well, there's five commissioners that represent Sandoval County, which is a very large county in landmass, but of course we're concentrated in Rio Rancho. There's almost 5,000 people here in Placitas that are represented by one commissioner. And many issues that we feel that for our tax contribution that we're not maybe getting as much as we should.
So was there ever a discussion of, not that it might have been a choice, but ESCA or go for local government?
There has been that question several times in the past years. We always felt that it would be better if we worked with our elected officials and build relationships and be able to express ourselves as a focus group. One of the problems is, as you typically hear in most communities, when there's a hot button issue, a small group of people get together and they want to petition or they want to go to their government officials, and they're not organized and they may not be as focused. our organization. We're all volunteer. We have about 150 members, and we meet our board once a month at the fire station.
The volunteer fire station. The
volunteer fire station right here on 165. The first Monday of each month at 6:30. The public is invited. We welcome everybody to come in and express what things we should be working on.
Is there a general turnout?
Usually there's a few residents that come. We have 7 board members, and we have some subcommittee people that show up. We usually have 15 to 20 people that show
up. Maybe you need better cookies.
Maybe we should serve wine as well. But
well, that seems to be a common theme up here, too. I'm not sure what that does for the effectiveness. So 150 members, that's paying members.
That's correct.
And how does someone become an official member?
It is a $50 per year cost per member. You can join by going to our website, which I want to highlight because most of our information is always on that website. It's www.es-ca.org. There's information from the forum. We have a blog. We keep people informed about what's going on in the community. And that's probably the most valuable piece of what we offer is information. It's so important for our community to attend meetings, get information, and be proactive as opposed to reactive.
Right.
Many times in the past, issues came down that affected us and we found out after the fact. So it's important for us to attend commission meetings, planning and zoning meetings, and also understand our relationship with the town of Bernalillo.
And how is that relationship?
Well, actually, it's very good. We've tried very hard to build relationships with all of our public officials. We've had at our meetings, we've had our state senator, John Sapien. We've had our federal congresswoman, Michelle Lujan Grisham, has met with our group. We have a great relationship with state representative Jim Smith, and our county commissioner, James Dominguez. Mayor Torres is a friend of ours. We meet with these folks periodically to understand what's going on in their revenue, in their venue, as well as what's our interests and our concerns.
And I would suspect there are many overlaps.
There is. When you're dealing with the political officials, each have their own interests, and certainly our value is to express what the concerns are in Placidus.
Right. And is there any way to maybe quantify the size of day-to-day ESCA-type life in this area as compared to maybe Indianapolis that I just pick out of the air? Mm-hmm. Because we're not as complex an area government-wise and building and development.
Placidus is so interesting because we're such a dichotomy of people that live here. There's people here that have been hippies back in the 60s who are still here, and then we have newcomers that come each year to retire. So we have a diverse community, but we have diverse issues. The good news is that we can impact our public officials by being an organization. Our strength comes in being a watchdog organization and have people attend meetings and report back to us about what the issues are so that we can be in front of the issues.
Right. Now, you don't have to be a card-carrying member to come to one of your meetings.
Not at all. We really enjoy having all the community join us. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do a little advertisement.
Please do. Well, it's a public service announcement.
Yes, okay.
That keeps us within the LPFM rules.
We do 3 or 4 community meetings a year. The next one coming up is our annual community meeting, which is Saturday, June 25th from 2 to 4 at the Anasazi Fields Winery. We're going to have 2 great guest speakers, and I think this will be a draw for our community. First one is Valerie Espinoza. Valerie is the District 3 Commissioner and Chairperson of New Mexico Public Regulation Commission, the PRC.
That's important.
That's a very good speaker who will be addressing issues like our pipeline safety, And things that the PRC is involved in as far as utilities and the rates that PNM will be charging. Our second speaker is Danita Burns. Danita is the Albuquerque District Manager of BLM. And as everybody in Placidas is aware, we have a big issue going on with the BLM and the regional management plan for what's called the Buffalo Tract.
Right.
And that will be coming out in the next couple of months. And we may get some information, but she'll certainly talk about what the BLM does. So then we'll do our annual update, talking about issues about the county ordinance regarding drilling, the mining effort, and we've got some interesting information to bring up about Vulcan, with pipeline safety, hospital taxes. We got a new bond election coming up in November, so we're going to bring everybody up to date. We invite everyone to come out. That's June 25th at the winery.
And anything at the winery is fun.
It's always a great place to get everybody together.
Does ESCA get involved with things like sales tax?
Not specifically. I think that is not one of the community issues that we can impact. What we're more interested in is what do we do with that revenue?
True. Maybe I don't know how city or county budgets are run or whatever, but especially in a poor area like this, taxing on food seems to be a little regressive.
There's been a reduction in the tax on food items since I've lived here. So I think they've gone in the right direction for reducing taxes on food. I'm concerned because of the loss of revenue from gas and oil revenue, whether or not that will continue to stay. So I think it is an issue that we, as all community representatives, should be concerned about.
So would it be fair to say, and I just want to remind people, this is KUPR 99.9 FM, Conversations with Matthew Bronson, and we are having a conversation with Ed Micah, the president of the Eastern Sandoval Citizens Association. Back to the show previously in progress. So can we say the issues are like the BLM Buffalo Track, mining, drilling, pipeline safety, and I would throw in the budget. I found in a other part of the world where we were living previously that I think you're familiar with, the East Coast of Florida, the county budgets, when the real estate boom hit, went from 20 million to 40 million in 3 years. To me, that's highly questionable as to what, it wasn't like they picked up my trash more or the potholes were filled more quickly. I don't know where it went, but they always maintained they needed it. Does ESCA have an opinion on how our county manages their budget? Are they running lean or is a lot of fluff?
That's a good question, Matthew. I do believe that ESCA has a responsibility to research and understand how the money is being spent.
Right.
Especially with, again, this community of Placidas is a large generator of revenue for taxes. We want to make sure that our taxes are being spent in a productive way. Things like road maintenance. We're constantly on the county about what can you do to improve our roads. So there are issues, and we do need to focus effort on the budget. I do not feel like our Sandoval County government is efficient. There are some concerns that are coming up recently. As an example, our county manager, Phil Rios, is asking for a secondary person to help assist him after he's just received a 3-year extension on his contract.
Well, he wouldn't need it if his contract wasn't renewed.
But this is a $50,000 job that's going to be a trial opportunity to see who might be his heir apparent. And perhaps there's a better way to spend that money than spend it on somebody as additional.
So when you say the lack of efficiency, it's not necessarily administratively, it's more financially.
Well, they run a very tight budget, things like road maintenance, and considering that the county is so large, we are concentrated in a few geographic areas, but we've got roadways throughout Sandoval County, which is a very, very large county. It's very difficult to maintain.
And I think probably many of the departments, like the fire department or the county sheriff, to be able to respond to an accident right outside of Cuba.
Yes.
It's very difficult. By the time they get there, it's all done.
Well, you know, I'm going to say that we've got some excellent people at the fire department.
Right.
We've had both the fire department and the sheriff's department speak last fall at one of our community meetings. These folks really give us a great effort in their jobs to protect us.
And we were fortunate to get Lieutenant Mills.
Yes, Alan Mills, and actually came to our and spoke to our group.
Excellent speaker, valuable resource for all of us.
Lives here in the community.
He told me not to say that.
I won't tell you where, but he does live in the community.
It's like anything else these days. You want to find it out, you can find it out.
All right.
BLM, again, not having a 20-year history observing all of this, but observing the United States from as long as I can remember, BLM never seems to be the good guy.
That's true.
And that's anecdotal. They could be the best thing going, but it doesn't seem that way. And things like the Buffalo Track, I don't understand why it's needed. But what does BLM get out of it?
Well, BLM, one of the missions that they have is to make sure that they use the property, the land, in a productive fashion. And one of the things with the Buffalo Tract is, and the greater Placidas area, we sit on top of fabulous sand and gravel. It's one of the reasons why we have Vulcan here, and we have Fisher here, and we have the Baca mines here. So we are surrounded by a resource that's very, very valuable in terms of its ability to create revenue.
Now, I'm obviously not educated in the way of geology, because Commissioner Dominguez had mentioned that we have great gravel.
We do.
And it just looks like all the other gravel I've seen in my life.
But it's a concentration here in this area, and unfortunately, there is a portion of the BLM that has the ability to be leased out or provided to commercial activity. ESCA is concerned about any expansion of sand and gravel mining in this area. In fact, we're working hard to get Vulcan to have a deadline as to when they will be out and making sure that they remediate the property to so that we're not left with a gigantic pit.
Right.
We also worked hard on Fisher Sand and Gravel and were able to get a commitment over time as to when they will be finished, and their plan is to develop commercially that property when they're done. They did contribute 11 acres of their property to Escafca, which they recently finished building a dam or a detention pond, which should really help Bernalillo in the rainy season. But our concern is our natural resources, that are abundant in this area, that they're managed properly, yet we can live with companies that are mining but not causing us to lose property value or quality of life.
Seems reasonable. Yet there is some issues there, and
I think frequently capitalism takes place.
Yes. Money is a motivator.
Yeah.
But still, if I get any of these facts wrong, let me know. But it just kind of in summary, it seems, from what I've picked up, there was a contract to let somebody come and mine this most delicious gravel that we have.
Yes.
And then within some period of time, square footage or acreage that they were supposed to work on, and for the term they were supposed to work on, they went way beyond the boundaries of where they were allowed to do what they were going to do. And the timing has kind of just gone on rather than renegotiating a contract. So why is that not just simple case law, stop, go back to where you were supposed to go?
We have a case in the
federal. Is that reasonably correct?
That is reasonably correct. Part of it is that the history, the mine was here before the development was here. And many of the ordinances and zoning regarding that operation were not in place when the mining started.
Okay.
So the mining started, and Lafarge was a major corporation that came in and started to expand, taking out more and more sand and gravel. They felt they were grandfathered in since the ordinances came into place. There were some agreements, but they were not formal written agreements. There were some letters exchanged saying that they would do mining until 2015. Well, 2015 has come and gone. ESCA has just been able to join the lawsuit with the county. And we are concerned about some of the operation from a environmental standpoint, and also zoning, and also a termination. And we're working on trying to get Vulcan to agree to some settlement in terms of when they will leave. We did this, again, going back to Fisher Sand and Gravel.
Right.
We worked with the county. We worked with the town of Bernalillo to set up some parameters of what they could do, when, and over what period of time. And we felt very good that we were able to get a deadline, which is still 7 years of mining, and then develop into a commercial property. In exchange, they provided 11 acres to the town of Bernalillo to build a detention pond. So there are ways to work with the organizations.
Right. And geologically or whatever, is it possible for a mining company to come in, take the gravel, take the sand, restore it, and then it becomes, you know, a public park or development? Is that?
Absolutely, Matthew. I think if you look at landfills around the country, at some time they get filled up and they're no longer needing to utilize the space, or they've run out of space. They've made them into parks. They've made them into golf courses. There are ways to take those resources from the property, but then remediate the property so that it can be used in the future.
So do you think the ESCA would ever entertain, not that Vulcan would do this, but kind of have a rolling or roving gravel pit where they work an area, restore it, then let them move?
That was the intention all along. That was the way we wanted to see
it. I knew it was a good idea.
Yes, that was exactly what we wanted to see, was that they didn't just rape the earth and continue to take out material without doing any remedial efforts behind them. That's part of the argument that we have today.
And to date, they have not remediated anything?
They have not really remediated anything.
Boy, wouldn't that be great PR for them to do that?
I would think so, too. I think, we did not have the ability to build a relationship with Lafarge. We're still trying to build that relationship with Vulcan. But the big corporations sometimes just look the other way. And we need to get their attention and be a part of the community and be somewhat concerned about the property values, quality of life, right, that we're most interested in.
Because I know in certain parts of Placitas, if they are downwind, it can ruin your day.
Well, that's a good point. We just have gotten the New Mexico Environmental Department to approve installation of some air monitoring equipment that will be going downwind of the Vulcan property, and we'll be collecting data about that material that's coming off site that is could be harmful to not just the sand in your house, but
right,
breathing in the particulate.
Well, but if first of all, I can see the dust,
yes,
most of the time, but if I go out and look at my front wall or my gate, and then there's it looks like I'm visiting a documentary on Mount St. Helens. You got to believe if there's an inch of dust on your wall, some of that got into your lungs.
Yes, and unfortunately, that's part of the issue about living in New Mexico. We do have lots of wind, we have lots of sand, so we don't need to create more through the mining efforts.
Right.
And we need to have a strong environmental department, a strong ordinances. Our county commissioners need to make sure that we protect our environment here and our people.
Are there any suits from homeowners associations or individual owners of loss of value?
Well, our organization called the Land Protection Trust which is a subcommittee of ESCA, was right. formed a couple of years ago. It has raised funds to participate in a lawsuit. They represent many of the homeowners that are downwind of the Vulcan property. And we are actively pursuing in court Vulcan for issues related to their operation. And we need to get an understanding of what they can do, when, and for how long.
Okay. Sounds well-run to me. Let's move on to drilling.
Okay.
From what I understand from Mayor Torres, whatever was going to happen out in Enchanted Hills kind of got a hold put on it?
Well, that was a good example of getting information up front. A company by the name of Sandridge out of Oklahoma got a permit to do a productive, or should I say, an exploratory well that would become a production well, looking for oil in the area just west of Rio Rancho. When we were informed of this, our organization, as well as many others, attended P&Z meetings and commission meetings to express our concerns. One of the things ESCA brought up was that at the time, Sandridge was financially in very poor shape, and their stock was going to be delisted from the stock market. What's very interesting, within the last several days, Sandridge has declared bankruptcy.
Oh, my.
And they're also the company that has thumbed their noses to the Oklahoma Environmental Department and have been tagged as one of those that have created some of the earthquakes in Oklahoma.
Oh, well, if you've got to be known for something, be known for something big.
So with the history and by bringing that information to our planning and zoning, as well as our commissioners, we were able to stop the effort, and Sandridge pulled their application for zoning change and have left the state. But it's very important for us not to let our guard down, that we still sit atop a lot of natural resources, both oil and gas in the area.
Both of which are losing value.
Yes, but now is the time to do the purchase of those and start leasing properties when the oil and gas industry is depressed.
Right.
So they have an incentive to do some effort now before the oil and gas revenue turns around and comes back. So it's important for us to have ordinances in place, processes in place to ensure that where they drill, how they drill, and the safety aspects are taken into consideration before they do these.
So there are still active suitors?
There are people in the wings looking for opportunities to lease property or buy property in the area. And our biggest concern is we've got to protect our aquifer.
Absolutely. Amen. Is there a model that ESCA would find it acceptable to have some people do some drilling?
We are not against commercial activity, and I want to make sure I express that. I don't want us to be thought of as always this organization that is negative.
You just say no.
And yes, and we've been accused of that many times. But the issue is we think we need development. We need commercialization. But there's ways to do it that can protect us and protect our property values, quality of life. And I keep coming back to that point because that's one of our missions, is to protect our property values, quality of life. But there is a way to drill successfully without harming the environment, and also perhaps further from populated areas.
Right. Well, I'm all in for that. Pipeline safety. I know that, I believe it's Dwight Patterson is having a meeting coming up soon.
Yes. ESCA has taken a position that we did not agree with Dwight's efforts. We think that it was a different way to approach it. Our approach is we want to work with the pipeline companies. As everybody should be aware of, there are five pipes that run through the Placidas area, and they carry everything from CO2 to diesel fuel to raw crude and highly flammable explosive materials as well.
Right.
as typical of pipelines.
Well, it's interesting to me that you say, and hopefully to somebody else, otherwise it's a waste of my time saying it, but five pipelines that we should all know. And I don't know if everyone knows that. I met someone just this week who, New Mexican native, Roswell, has been up here for about 5 years, living in Albuquerque, has not even heard of Placidas. Where is that?
Yes.
So people who are involved in the local community and government and just, you know, being part of the team would know those things. But there are a lot of people who hopefully listen to KUPR and listen to these programs, and that's why we do this, because they may not know that there are five pipelines here, and they've been here a long time.
They've been here over 50 years.
I don't know the life expectancy. But
that's a good question, and that's why we want to make sure that they run safety checks. Right. And
we don't want to find out.
We don't want to find out.
Years.
Right. That's our effort, is working with the pipeline companies to understand what they're doing. And we are building a relationship where they have notified us prior to doing maintenance. They have met with our group to present their safety record, as well as the things they do to ensure our safety, such as they run pigs, they're called, through the pipelines that take information about the structure and, of the pipes themselves. They have replaced sections, but we need more information. And again, those pipelines, like the gravel mine, were here prior to homes being in the area.
Sure.
So it's important for us to know where they are, what they're doing, operating under what pressures, what safety components there are to their operation. You have to understand that those pipes run from the northwest corner of New Mexico
right.
down to the southeast corner of New Mexico. And some of those pipelines, most of those pipelines, run beyond New Mexico. So consequently,
right.
they are not regulated by New Mexico PRC.
Just passing through.
The DOT is responsible for regulating those. Some of the pipelines are interstate, meaning they go beyond, and some are intrastate, which means they're within.
Certainly.
So those within the state are regulated by PRC. Those that cross state boundaries are regulated by DOT. So we need to work with both organizations, understand how do we ensure our safety and regulate those pipelines to ensure that they're operated safely.
If I understand it correctly, one of the big issues and the impetuses for the pro-pipeline monitoring program is that sometime last year, the pipeline companies were allowed to jack up the pressure inside to the statistical max of a brand new pipe. And I think that's where their concern for leakage came from.
Well, again, it's a technical issue that I'm not capable of speaking to, but I will say, yes, the pipeline pressures have increased. I don't know about whether they're to the maximum or whatever.
It sounds good. It's very scary.
it's a hot button issue for people living in this area. We have the pipelines run very close to our elementary school.
Well, it sounds like you're saying that ESCA obviously recognizes it, that it's an issue, wants to address it, but this particular solution that is being put forth for the monitoring of a certain section of the pipeline is, you think there's a better way or a cheaper way?
I think we have to look for a different way.
Okay.
Again, ESCA is working with pipeline companies, and I think any idea we should look at and say, is it potentially effective? The one that Dwight Patterson came up with, we looked at very closely, met with him several times, did not feel that it had any history or in capability. We proposed different ways to get it to be tested and experimented with to prove its effectiveness before we'd go out seeking funding and tax resources for maintaining it. So we had a lot of questions that we didn't feel. Proof of concept, exactly.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah. But we're not against the newest ideas, the latest technology, and any additional ways to protect our safety is we're open-minded to.
Well, maybe the overriding important point here is that ESCA's working on it, Dwight Patterson people's working on it. People are working as a community, and we're going to hopefully find the best solution.
I think we should have three or four or five solutions, and one of those is going to work to our benefit, and we will support the one that works.
Excellent. So it's a work in process.
Yes.
Is there any kind of deadline for any of these?
No, there isn't. This is going to be definitely a work in progress. We have tried to build relationships with the pipeline companies, and I think they have a vested interest in, they do not want to have a failure. But we want to ensure that what they are doing is being done correctly, safely, and that it's being monitored so that we don't find after the fact that there's a leak. We find something quickly.
Now, you've lived around the country long enough in different places to get a sense of a community. Would you agree with my short-term observation that the amount of audience participation within Placidus, or your resident participation, is way up the citizen service curve?
Well, I agree with you, Matthew, and the reason I see it is because, number one, we have a lot of retired people here. We have a lot of people that are very interested in the environment. They're outdoors folks, so they want to protect this environment. And I think Placidus as a character is a wonderful place with a diverse group of people that are all interested in the community.
It seems to go, it crosses socioeconomic background. And everyone, regardless of their path in life, that is living here since the original hippies,
yes,
to newcomers, everybody's got skin in the game and everyone gets a vote.
You know, that's one of the reasons why my wife and I live here. All you have to do is go to the Merck or go to the Placidus Cafe, and you'll see the different folks that live here, and we all seem to get along together from varied backgrounds and from places all over the country. And this is a great place to retire and be part of a community. And I hope that perhaps today's message is get involved in the community. There's so many things you can do here.
Too many things.
Yes, if you volunteer for something, you are going to be committed.
I told my wife just last month, I'm thinking about going back to work because it's much more relaxing.
Yes.
But these are, you know, fun things, and you feel like you are making a difference.
I never thought that I would be involved with Eastern Sandoval Citizens Association, and just being exposed to what they were doing and getting partially involved and then getting more involved, I really want to contribute to this community and its long-term future.
And everybody listening, you don't have to spend 20 hours a week volunteering. There's always something that needs to be done, so no matter how much time you have, at least come to the meeting and remind us again when the public meetings are, or the board meetings.
Well, our monthly meeting is every first Monday, except on a holiday like July 4th. It would be the following Monday.
All right.
But it's at the fire station on Route 165, and that is at 6:30 p.m., open to the public. Please come and join us and see what goes on and bring your thoughts.
And es-ca.org.
Yes.
It is a 501c4.
That's correct.
So it... contributions can be made tax-free to help move ESCA's initiatives forward.
We encourage people to join our organization. We certainly need the revenue to pay for our website, pay for our insurance, pay for our advertising, and for these meetings, community meetings. But even more importantly is strength in numbers. When we meet with our public officials, it's so valuable to say that you're speaking for 150 or 200 or 400 people than being that small organization that's trying to petition some effort.
Right.
So strength in numbers is become a member of ESCA.
And not to end on an unhappy note, but I think to make this just kind of a complete interview, are there people or subgroups within Placidus that say, we don't like ESCA? What you're doing, we don't want you to do.
I believe there is. I think some people think at times that we're political. We are political, but we're not partisan.
Okay.
So it's important for people to understand we don't represent the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or independent. We are volunteers who are nonpartisan. And sometimes people think that their particular issue, it doesn't get the importance that it should. And to answer those naysayers, I would say, please come visit us. Come to our public meetings. Come to our board meetings. Express yourself, and we will join in your efforts as well.
Sure. That seems very fair and like a good idea. You know, don't complain about it. Go do something about it.
Absolutely.
So, well, Ed Micah, president of ESCA, Eastern Sendoval Citizens Association, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. It's been a real pleasure today.
And I look forward to a return engagement with all kinds of cases closed. We'll only have two things to talk about.
No, we'll always have more things to talk about. Thanks, Matthew.
Thank you. So for Conversations with Matthew Bronson, this is Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 FM in the beautiful high desert of Placidas, New Mexico. Thank you.